Hi, everyone. Siobhan Chapman here, and welcome to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It's Friday morning, which means it's time for the Week in Review and Preview conversation, where my guests will recap how markets have performed over the past few sessions and preview what you can expect in the week ahead. Today's conversation will primarily focus on the October employment report and its impact on possible rate cuts by the Fed. Joining us for the conversation, I'm glad to welcome back Brian Rose, Senior Economist Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office, as well as Paul Hsiao, Asset Allocation Strategist Americas. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Perfect. So let's get started. Brian, I'll start with you. Let's begin with the October employment report, which we just received a short while ago. How did the data look and how would you characterize the current health of the U.S. labor market?
So overall, this was a weak report. You had the headline non-farm payrolls up only 12,000. And there were also downward revisions to the prior 2 months, totaling 112,000. So, you know, very weak numbers. But in the report, it's noted that the hurricane and the striking workers had a negative effect on payrolls, but they didn't give us an estimate of that effect. They said basically we have no way to estimate the actual size of that effect. So I think, you know, very weak numbers, but maybe it's just the effect of the hurricane. And so it leaves the underlying trend uncertain. I would point out, though, that the household survey was also very weak. You had the labor force participation rate falling. So the unemployment rate was steady at 4.1, but only because people dropped out of the labor force. The estimate for employment down 368,000. So again, you had the upward surprise in the September data, and now this month, negative surprise. The one stronger part of this report was average hourly earnings up 0.4. So we've seen, in the last couple of months, stronger wage growth. But also this week, we had the employment cost index for the third quarter. This is generally considered the best measure of wages that we have available. And it showed wage growth slowing in the third quarter, especially private sector, up only 0.7 quarter on quarter. So this is the lowest since early 2021 and slow enough to be compatible with the Fed's 2% inflation target. So again, despite what the average hourly earnings showed, I think general sense that wage growth continues to slow. We also had JOLTS job openings down weaker than expected, actually falling below the pre-pandemic peak. So we've gone from 12.2 million job openings to only 7.4. So again, you add all this together, there's some uncertainty over what's going on, but you know, clearly the labor market overall remains on a softening trend.
Thank you so much for your insights on that, Brian. So, Paul, I want to introduce you into the conversation. How might this impact the course of further rate cuts by the Fed?
I think that this labor market report actually increases the odds of the CIO's call of two more rate cuts, the 50 basis points more towards the year end. You know, in our opinion, you know, the Fed's in this balancing act where it's showing a clear preference to cut, but it has to balance its pace of rate cuts with how good the data is. And the data has been actually quite strong over the last couple of weeks. Ryan's alluded to a stronger GDP print, revisions to household income that shows a much more robust consumer than originally thought, as well as the September jobs number that really was surprised to the upside. But now that we have the October jobs number, which certainly is weaker, it certainly tilts the odds in the other direction, and futures markets have actually increased the odds of of two more rate cuts for the rest of the year, although it's still a little unchanged from last week. So it doesn't move the needle, at least in the initial market reactions, too much. From our opinion, you know, not only in the U.S. economy do we have a healthy labor market, growth is above trend and fundamentals are actually quite good. Things are also working in the Fed's favor to cut. As Brian mentioned, wage growth has been modest. Employment cost index shows a disinflationary trend in wages, which is certainly consistent with what we were seeing in headlines and core CPI, where, you know, we are much slower than we were a couple months ago, and that's certainly encouraging for the Fed in order to cut rates. In general, I think it strengthened the case for two more rate cuts this year, and I think we're still on the path for 100 basis points that are penciled in for 2025.
So, Brian, I want to move outside of the jobs data. What were some other notable economic data releases from the past few days?
Well, as Paul mentioned, we did have the GDP print for the third quarter, another strong quarter of growth, 2.8%, after a 3% growth rate in the second quarter. Growth was led by consumer spending, especially on goods. So very, very strong spending on goods. We also had a big jump in defense spending that added 0.5% to the overall GDP growth rate. There were some areas of weakness, especially in terms of construction investment, both for non-residential and residential, and also saw very large trade deficit in September, and the trade deficit expanding in the third quarter as a drag on growth. But again, if you just look at the headline growth rate, it's it remains very strong. And we also had the Fed's preferred inflation measure, the PCE inflation, the headline coming down to 2.1% year over year, so just above the 2% target. And one other thing to mention is that the savings rate is trending lower again. So we've had this ongoing uncertainty over what's going on with households. As Paul mentioned, they revised up income to show higher savings rate over the last couple of years. But now you look at the last 3 months and savings rate is dropping pretty quickly again, making it questionable whether consumers can keep spending at this rate. So we remain in this environment where there's tremendous amount of noise in the data, and it makes it hard to figure out what the true underlying trend in the economy is.
Paul, can you remind us of CIO's current allocation preferences?
Absolutely. So in this environment, Brian's pointed out that although the data can be quite noisy and it is hard to really see what the underlying trend is, things have been getting more positive recently. You can see that through the economic surprise indices all inflecting upwards. But just in general, we're in a growth trend where we're still growing, and the Fed is pretty set on rate cuts, in our opinion. That tends to be good for risk assets and especially equities. And CIO has a most preference towards equities right now, just given the fact that we are in a rate-cutting environment. The earnings data for Q3 that has been released so far has been quite robust, and that's generally supportive for our thesis. And CIO expects the S&P to be around 6,600 by year-end of 2025, which is an upside of which is a pretty sizable upside in our view. Along this environment, I think it's just worth putting into context that historically we're still operating in a pretty tight labor market environment with the unemployment rate still around 4.1%. And I think depending on who you ask, it's right around what some economists consider to be, Nehru, or the non-inflationary part of the unemployment rate, is still in tight levels. That's all to say that we do expect in this tight labor market environment, AI investment is something that more and more companies are certainly considering. And that is another reason why we have a preference towards equities in the intermediate term. In this environment of robust growth and inflation remaining a little above target, it leads to higher positive correlations between stocks and bonds. We tend to tell our clients that given this environment of higher correlations, it is worth exploring alternatives as a diversification method. And we do expect short-term volatility to be elevated in the near term, especially with the election next week. So investors should consider hedging assets such as gold in the short-term environment. But in general, as Brian has pointed out, as I think the overall labor market picture has also displayed, this month's jobs numbers notwithstanding, we're still in a pretty good environment in the U.S. It is conducive to risk assets, and that's why we have a preference towards equities right now.
Thank you so much for that timely reminder, Paul. So we are coming to the end of our conversation. Brian, what is taking place next week that investors should be mindful of?
the next week is pretty light in terms of data, but clearly the focus will be on the election, right? The tremendous ability to move the market depending on how the election turns out. And don't forget, we also have the FOMC meeting next week on Thursday. They'll make a rate decision. I think there's not a lot of uncertainty. Everyone expects them to cut 25 basis points, but their messaging in terms of the future path of rate cuts, this will be a focus. And again, depending on how the election goes and whether we have a clear result by the time the Fed makes its decision on Thursday, the FOMC could end up being ignored, or they could send an important message that either makes the market think the Fed will cut in December, as we expect, or maybe they'll send a signal saying, no, the strength of growth makes us think that maybe we don't need to cut, maybe we're going to pause, or at least there's a possibility of pausing in December. So this FOMC meeting is still very important, even though there's not, any uncertainty over what they're going to do this time. And, the market, I think, will be very focused on what Powell says in the host meeting and news conference. Again, we've seen big moves in the pricing of future Fed rate cuts, and we're going to listen on every word what Powell is saying about their intentions for the future.
All right, perfect. Paul, Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.